So for the past couple of months, for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at a topic called "You Shall Receive Power." And we made a number of references last week. We started last week. This is the second installment of "You Shall Receive Power." So I'm just going to do a slight recap of last week, then we'll go to the installment for today. Now, we're looking at power, and we said, what is power? Just generally speaking, what is power? We said power, I'm summarizing from last week, is the ability to influence someone or something. The ability to influence someone or something. Now, that is the purpose of power. When people say, I want power, it's because you need that power, you want that power to be able to influence something or someone, or to be able to achieve a certain goal that you have. GKYN. So that is power. We also said, okay, that's looking at power from a regular, everyday perspective. Now, what is power from a spiritual perspective? What is spiritual power? And we said spiritual power is when it is using supernatural power from a being somewhere else to achieve your purpose or to accomplish something. That's what we defined spiritual power as. Now, we were looking at the story of Peter last week, and we will continue today. Just to summarize, Jesus came to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you. We're looking at Luke chapter 22. It says, Satan has desired to have you. However, I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail when this happens to you. And Peter responded to Jesus and said, it can't be me. I mean, I'm super spiritual. I'm strong. I mean, maybe some other person, you know that, but definitely not me. But Peter, at that point, did not understand the dynamics of power. He didn't understand the dynamics of spiritual power. And in that context, what we saw was that the devil exercised spiritual power to influence the things around Peter and to influence Peter himself. So although Peter was determined, although Peter was sincere, because he did not understand the dynamics of power, of spiritual power, he still fell into that trap, but Jesus took him out of it. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about power. Now, I'm going to look at power from a slightly different perspective today. Just carrying on from the discourse on Peter, I'm going to look at power, should I say, spiritual power aimed at relationships. Spiritual power aimed at relationships. Now, a lot of times when we talk about power, and this is valid, we might, from when we talk about spiritual power in the church, maybe what comes to your mind is a YouTube channel where they're streaming a Holy Ghost meeting. There are hundreds and thousands of people there, and they're like, receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and people are getting healed, people are falling and all those things. That is the manifestation of power. But I want to take it away from that to something that is more personal to us, something that happens to us on a daily basis. Power and the use of power, the use of spiritual power aimed at relationships. Now, I'm going to make 3 points this morning, then I will summarize. But before we do that, I want us to read a portion of scripture. We looked at this last week, but I just want us to see it again to give us context. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. I alluded to this earlier. This was the scenario where Jesus was talking to Peter. I'll read it again. Jesus now says in verse 31 of Luke chapter 22, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, this is Simon Peter, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. All right. So we see Peter here. He's having this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus is like, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you. Satan has plans for you. And those plans are not good. However, I have prayed for you. Don't worry about that. And Peter was like, what? Me? I mean, let him give me his best shot. I'm going to overcome it. And I suspect that Peter was thinking that, okay, maybe the devil would come to him in an obvious manner. Maybe the devil would appear in his dream with horns and try to scare him. And Peter would be like, I bind you, you know? Or maybe the devil would do something very obvious. So probably that was what Peter was expecting. But he didn't understand that there is a manifestation of power and influence that is very subtle. And Peter wasn't expecting it to come the way it did. So, Jesus tells Peter this. And if you now go to Luke chapter 22, I'm not going to read that part, verses 54 to 62, which we read last week. Then they capture Jesus, they take him away, they beat him, they do all sorts of things. And Peter is following from afar. At the end, he denies Jesus three times. The same thing that Jesus had told him. And the Bible says that Peter was so disappointed in himself that he went outside and he wept. He was like, how could I have done this? How could I have denied Jesus who has been there for me all the time? How could I have denied Jesus who has, you know, healed my mother-in-law? And he was totally devastated. So the question here is this. What does power have to do with this? Well, the thing is this. There's a certain kind of spiritual power that is aimed at relationships. And it's not very obvious. That's why often it works. I said, that's why often it works, because it's not obvious. The same way it worked against Peter. So, what am I saying here? The first thing I'm saying this morning is this. There is spiritual power from the devil, through the devil, that is aimed at your relationships. That is aimed at my relationships. In the case of Peter, it was aimed at his relationship with Christ. So the devil looked at him and he said, okay, how can I get this guy? If I come, obviously, if I appear, Jesus will bind me. If I do this, Jesus will just, you know, block. So what's the best way that I can just cripple this guy? And he found something. And that was, look, if I can exercise power and authority negatively on the relationship that Peter has with Jesus, game over. Game over. Game over. So the first point I'm making this morning is this. We're looking at spiritual power aimed at relationships. So the first point is that there are relationships in your life, in my life, and in the life of every individual that have been ordained by God to help you fulfill God's purpose and to live life joyfully every day. There are some relationships, not all of them. There are some relationships that you should just stay away from, but there are a lot of relationships that God puts you in, and those relationships are meant to help you attain the purpose of God in your life. So what are these kinds of relationships? Well, you have different kinds of relationships. You have normal friendships, like you have a friend. Maybe you guys are just friends from work, friends from school. Just friends, just generally speaking. You could have a marriage relationship as well, husband and wife. You could have the relationship of children and their parents, or parents and their children. And your relationship with Christ, which is the most important one. So what am I saying as this first point, Nat? There are relationships that are put there by God to help you achieve your purpose in life and to help you to live a life that is joyful, even the ones that don't seem very obvious. So I said that even friendships can help you. God can use some of the friendship relationships that you have to help you achieve purpose. I remember, a while ago, if you guys were at this church 2 years ago or so, slightly less than 2 years ago, we didn't used to meet here. We used to meet at the dance hall, like rented accommodation, rented place. We would set the place up on a Sunday morning. A lot of, guys would be there early to set up all the speakers and all those things. And we did that for a bit. Then one day, and we had been looking for a church building for ages, we couldn't find one. The ones we found, we were outbid. I mean, you'd go to look for a church building and there'll be 50 applicants for that building. And we just never got any. Then one day, a friend of mine just calls me, pastor friend of mine, just like a casual day. He says, "Oh, Pastor B, let's go and have tea." I said, "Okay, that's fine. I'll meet you on Fish Ponds Road." So generally, we'll just catch up, talk about ministry, talk about what's going on with his life, my life, and all stuff like that. Just general friendship. So this day, he calls me and he says, "Oh, Pastor B, let's catch up." We catch up, we're sitting now. And he looks at me. He said, "Oh, by the way," I said, "Yeah, what's up?" He says, "They've outgrown their church and they're moving somewhere else. Do we want the church building?" I said, "Can you repeat what you've just said?" He said, "They're not going to put it on the market. They're not going to mark up any profit on it. They will just value it. And if we're happy, do we want it?" And I just said, "Man, this is interesting." Because I know that if they had put this place on the market, developers could buy this place, break it down, build like 6 houses, pay 4 times the price. That's what had been happening. So that little friendship did that. Do you understand what friendships can do? You now see another kind of friendship, maybe a marriage relationship, where for that house, for that couple, God has a purpose for them to live a joyful marriage, to do, the Bible says, enjoy life with the wife of your youth. So marriage relationships are meant to be enjoyable. But what you find is that sometimes it's not always the case. And one thing that puzzled me for a long time before I got married was, you'd see people who obviously loved each other, at least to show that they loved each other, and 1-2 years later, you just see or hear they're divorced. You now see how these people are towards each other. Some of them would literally be like, "I hate my spouse." So I'm now wondering, how did that happen? Isn't this the person that you loved so much? You guys were going all over the place. How did hatred come into this? How did you guys get here? And it puzzled me for a long time. But I now began to realize that, and it's not in all cases. There are times that people have just character issues and whatever that they need to sort out. That one is there. That one requires understanding. But I realized that a lot of the times, not all the time, so we don't blame the devil is involved. I can tell you that one. The devil is involved a lot of the times. And I blame him. Some of it is our own character flaws. We have to be patient and all those things. I'm not talking about that. So this guy was telling me that he was in a lift one day. And this was in a country somewhere. And there was this girl behind him and another girl. And they were talking. And do you know what they were saying? He said they were saying, one of them was saying that guy, he thinks he can just leave me and go and, I marry that other girl. I've been in relationship with him for X number of months. and he thinks he can just dump me and go and meet up and just marry that girl. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to this person. She said it in another language. I'm going to go to this person and they will do something for him that will scatter that relationship. Do you understand? And this guy was like, man, he just walked out of the lift after that. Like, so she was planning to go and invoke spells against the relationship between that guy and that girl so that it would dissolve. Do you understand what I mean? A husband just wakes up one morning and he looks at his wife and he's like, this woman is annoying me. She's annoying me. And she now says, oh, dear, how are you? And it's that time that he now realizes that this woman doesn't respect me. The woman that has been caring for you, that has been so nice to you, this woman doesn't respect me. It's over. Then the woman now goes, what's wrong with this guy? I mean, I look after everybody. I sacrifice. In fact, this is nonsense. Then arguments start. Then, if it's a normal one, yeah, maybe they can resolve it. Sometimes the devil now puts fire and it begins to escalate. It begins to escalate. And if you sit both of them down and ask, so what's the problem here? And they speak. And you'll be like, I mean, it's just, I'm not talking about, you know, people who do obviously wrong things. And you're like, why are they, I mean, this doesn't make sense to me. So this is why you guys want to divorce, because, and they're blinded. And the relationship comes to an end. Parents and children as well. Sometimes some children might just wake up and like, look, this, maybe they're 16 or 17, this, my parents have been, they've just been controlling my life too much. I want my freedom. I want my, the ability. I'm not a dummy at 16 years old, 17. I'm not a dummy. I can make choices myself. And they, you know, act up. And the parents are like, okay, get out of my house. If you can't, you know, do what I, and all those things, you know, then that relationship begins to be sour. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that, look, the same way that Satan used spiritual influence and power to influence Peter and the things around him, that's what he does. And the aim from a relationship perspective is to destroy your relationships so that the people who are meant to help you or the relationships where we are meant to have joy and peace, you don't have it. Then it's game over. I mean, another one I see often is what I call self-sabotage. Do you know what self-sabotage is? Self-sabotage is where an individual has a friend or is in a particular situation that is meant to help them, and they find something wrong out of the blues about that person so that they can end the relationship. I don't like this thing. And they end it. A friendship or something. And you're wondering, what's going on here? And they're like, I don't like that person. What did the person do? Maybe the person just, you know, offended you a bit. And you end it. Meanwhile, that's the person that is meant to help you in the future. Self-sabotage. So what am I saying here? The same thing that happened with Peter is happening now on a daily basis, where the devil is exercising spiritual power in your circumstance, in my circumstance, to destroy the relationships that you have. He said that when Jesus was praying for Peter, he said, look, I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. Satan wants your relationships to fail. And how does he do it? Subtly, through spiritual power and influence. Power is the ability to influence something. He influences, he tries to influence our minds, our circumstances to trigger us. So we need to be conscious of that. So, we've said there are relationships that are ordained by God to help you get to where God wants you to get to and for you to have a peaceful and enjoyable life. The second thing I mentioned in passing was that the devil organizes things around us often so that our relationships will fail in whatever ramifications, so that that relationship cannot progress. The things that are meant to come out of it are not achieved. So I've spoken about these two things then, that we have these relationships and the devil tries to use spiritual influence to destroy them. So the third and final point is this. How do we deal with this? Please. One thing I want to put out there is, I'm not saying that every disagreement that one has in a relationship or something is caused by the devil. So it's not like, this is the devil. No, maybe it's you that you need to relax and be more patient. Don't say it's the devil. No. Hang on. No. Maybe it's you that you need to be more patient. But we need to understand what goes on in the background sometimes. So the third thing, so how do we deal with this? Well, the first thing is this. Jesus said something quite interesting when he was dealing with Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I'll mention three things that we can apply. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail." So the first thing you and I need to realize is that we need to constantly pray for our relationships. I'm telling you. You need to pray for your children. Children need to pray for their parents. We need to pray for the people in church. You need to pray for your spouse, your marriage. Pray for yourself. Pray for your friendships. Jesus said, "I have prayed for you." Now, oftentimes, like, what's that all about? All this prayer thing is just too much. Isn't that over-spiritualizing it? Yes, it is. Yes, I agree. But it's a spiritual world that we're in. So often, for us as a church, we pray as much as we can. And some people will be wondering, why do we pray? Like, why do we meet every week to pray? If this week I say, "God, we pray for our relationships, we pray for this," isn't it enough? Why do I have to do it every week? The breakfast you had this morning, if you didn't, isn't it enough? Why do you have to eat breakfast every day? The lunch that you had yesterday, the cake that you had yesterday, the ice cream that you... just eat it once and let it... Why? You see, that is the same thing with prayer. So you and I need to not be devil conscious. We're not devil conscious in this church. We're not devil, but we like to identify where his hand is so we can cut it off. We don't focus on the devil in this church. God has defeated him on our behalf. But we do need to be conscious of where he raises his head. Do you understand? So you and I need to pray for our relationships constantly. Pray. As a church, we pray. As individuals, we should pray as well. Commit your children into God's hands, your friendships into God's hands. Jesus said he prayed for Peter. So we need to pray. Now, three things in terms of how we deal with these things. The second thing is this. We need to treat our relationships with discernment. Discernment. Now, what is discernment? I got a dictionary definition. It says discernment is the ability to perceive and understand and judge situations or information clearly, often separating truth from falsehood or identifying subtle details. It says the ability to understand and judge situations clearly. Discernment. That is what discernment is. So the second thing is this. Treat your relationships with discernment. When things begin to escalate, step back and ask yourself, what is going on here? Judge truthfully. What is going on here? Is it me? Why am I reacting the way I'm reacting? Why is she or he reacting the way they are reacting? So that you don't just jump and make decisions that will just that are based on things that are not the actual truth. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3. Talking about Jesus, he says, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. Discernment. So the Bible was saying that when people come to Jesus, or in those days when people came to him, they will say all sorts of things. What's this? What's that? This woman, we caught her doing this. This person, we caught them doing this. And all this. And Jesus often would pause. Sometimes he won't even answer them. And he'll be reflecting. Why? Because the Bible says that he will not judge according only on what he sees or what he hears physically. He will reflect in his spirit and say, what is going on here? Discernment. So, the second thing I'm saying here is this. When things begin to escalate around you, why don't you take a step back and ask yourself, what's really going on here? What is really going on here? I mean, for me, as an individual, I think I can be quite, what's that word? Impatient. So if, for example, you're dealing with me, we're having dealings together, and I say, please, can you do this? Or this is what you should do. I expect that you're going to do it straight away. I expect that you're going to, even if you don't sleep, you should do that thing. But that's not really correct. Because if I'm not going to sleep in that situation to do whatever, I'm the one that has made the choice. I shouldn't be expecting you to do that. I should expect you to do it normally. And so what that means is that there are times that I can be quite impatient and just be a bit, what's that word? Not grumpy. I'm not a grumpy guy. I can be quite sharp in my responses sometimes. Quite sharp. And I kind of realize that. So when I'm, you know, there are times I'm talking to people and some people that are close to me have borne this brunt a bit. And I'm that sharp or I'm reacting in a particular way. And the person I'm having conversation with is reacting in a particular way. I now say, okay, look, let me just step back here. Why am I being so responsive? Why am I so annoyed in this particular situation? Is it something that's going on with me? Is there something I need to address? Is there something I need to step back on? Or if it's the person I'm dealing with that is acting out of character, then I'm asking myself, why is this person doing this? Is it something that I said or something going on? And based on that, I will step back. I will step back and just give that thing space. There are some people that have come to me and said, no, you know, you're this, you're that. You're not, doing the thing you should do. And I'm just looking. And I'm like, what's going on here? And in those circumstances, sometimes I have to step back and say, okay, let me just give this person space. And not destroy this relationship. And it blows over. So what am I saying? We need to be discerning and not jump to conclusions so that we can keep our relationships. The third and final point this morning. So we're looking at spiritual power aimed at making relationships fail. We looked at the life of Peter, that the tactic of the devil was to ensure that his relationship with Jesus failed so that he would not achieve the purpose that Jesus called him to. And is the same tactics that the devil uses on our relationships as well. So we said, how do we deal with that? We've looked at 2 points already. We say we need to constantly pray for our relationships. The second thing is that we need to be discerning. We shouldn't just jump into conclusions. Now, the third thing as well is this, which is the final point that I'll make and we'll pray, is you and I need to take responsibility for our spiritual growth in terms of prayer and discernment. Now, Jesus was there to help Peter. because Jesus was present physically. The Bible says Jesus still prays for us now, but Jesus is not here physically. So Jesus expects that you and I will take responsibility for our spiritual growth in terms of prayer and discernment. Because if you do not, and I don't, what we'll find is that that kind of life will be the life of Peter that will just be tossed up and down. And things will just happen around that individual and their lives will just be up and down, up and down. Why? Because they have not taken spiritual responsibility for their own lives. So God expects you and I to take responsibility for our lives, to grow, to read the Bible, to pray. It shouldn't be that, you know, one has been a Christian for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years and, you know, that individual is still the same. The Bible verse that you knew 2 years ago, that's the only one that individual knows. When is prayer? Oh, I'm not interested in prayer. Let the church people pray. Prayer meeting, that's the time. Arsenal is on. By the way, if you're an Arsenal fan, I'm not aiming this at you or Man U, whichever one. Arsenal is on at that time. I mean, pastor and the people that pray will pray. I'm not a prayer person. I just, you know, mind my business. Really, you just mind your business. You mind your business. We need to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. So this is saying that in taking responsibility for your spiritual growth, your knowledge of the Bible, your knowledge of God, you need to get it at all costs because it can cost you your life if in certain situations you fall victim to this subtlety of the devil. Yes, people will pray for you. The church prays for every one of us, but you need to take responsibility as well if you do not want your life to be in the hand of the devil like this. Do you understand? Now, in saying that we're in the hands of God, the devil can't just mess you about. But Jesus expects you and I to take responsibility, to get wisdom, and to get understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. It says, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So in saying get wisdom here, it's not just talking about, you know, wisdom from a normal perspective. It's saying get Christ. Make your relationship with Christ a priority. Make it a priority. So that Christ empowers you by the Holy Spirit with the spiritual power that you need to walk in discernment and to live a life that is joyful. Amen. So I'm going to stop there this morning.